Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Now, Chris, we've been talking a fair bit in the last few months about inflation, or at least what the Fed wants to see is that inflation over 2%. But there's also another kind of side comment to this whole inflation narrative that deals with stagflation. That's something you and I have been chatting about for a couple years right now. And even the moves we're seeing today, I think, can lead people further into that whole stagflation debate or argument. We have copper that has traded remarkably higher over the last couple months. The 10-year yields in general have been rising. And the dollar's getting hit quite hard today. So I know we're not getting defined breakouts in necessarily any of these markets, but the at least shorter term trends have been more for a, let's say, stagflation environment. What do you have to say about this narrative, this argument to this whole inflation-focused Fed?
Well, look, Corey, what I've been believing for quite some time is that the best case scenario that the Fed and the other central banks will be able to engineer is that we don't fall off a cliff into a deflationary spiral downward, as we saw most recently in 2008, as happened to the markets briefly early this year before the central banks and everybody circled the wagons. But instead of that, we have the slow, dull ache going forward, where the central banks and continue to create gobs and gobs of new money and credit, where the powers that be in government will do at least some things to keep things liquid as well. But those are things, Corey, that mathematically can't have much of an impact broadly on economic growth. And so it would take us back to a subdued version of what we saw in the 1970s, famously or infamously, here in the U.S., where we have a situation where you've got lots of money growth, you've got the dollar weak and so forth, but there's just no traction with the Main Street economy. And instead, you have all of that surplus money finding places for it to go. Back in those days, it was very much so into commodities and hard assets of various kinds, real estate, oil, gold, you name it. Today, it's spread around a bit more, where you have meld-ups in the stock market like we've seen, and commodities have done relatively less in this environment. But that may start to evolve in a direction that will favor commodity prices more broadly. Again, it bears watching. The dollar being on the back foot is still a danger. If something came out of left field to cause everybody to run for the hills and so forth, that would most definitely have a negative impact on all these commodities and push them back down, at least for a while. And I don't think you can bet too heavily on these themes quite yet, but that may be coming.
Chris, how much does this all depend on a big stimulus package coming from the Fed and then us also realizing or figuring out where that stimulus money is going to land within the markets and within these different sectors?
Well, the Fed has already done its job, Corey. There's no more stimulus that's going to come from the Fed. What's going to determine whether commodities do well, whether the broad economy can do a little bit better, is what the policymakers do. I've pointed out more than once that, you know, the Fed can create all kinds of new credit, but that's only part of the job. There needs to be a transmission mechanism of some kind that's going to get that into people's hands. Joe Sixpack, Sally Soccer Mom, Uncle Fred and Aunt Martha and everybody else, and is going to give them some ability and or incentive to spend more, to do more, to invest more, and so forth. The big part of that whole thing, of course, is for a longer term, I believe, would be an infrastructure program. Could be rebuilding schools and bridges and roads and the power grid. It could morph more into the more pie in the sky and longer term green energy kind of things if you have a Democrat sweep. on election day. So we don't know the answers to the finer parts of that yet. But unless and until we get something massive on the part of Washington that will take some of this extra credit and money that the Fed has made available and put it to at least some half productive uses, then things are going to stay pretty much bogged down.
Yeah, but that's the whole question, right? Is the money that's going to be printed and created, is it going to be useful for the economy? Is it even going to trickle down into the individual's hands? Are these stagflationary trends ones that you think people can put money into now and actually ride out? Or are there still just too many questions out there and now is not the time for investors broadly to get too aggressive in any direction?
Well, speaking generally and broadly, no, you've still got to keep a lot of dry powder because just for sake of discussion, Corey, if we get to election day and we have a photo finish in the presidential race and or even some controversy, some legal actions, law, whatever may come out of this, that's still a possibility. It's probably not most people's base case and it's not mine, frankly. But I think that it's enough of a possibility that if we get that, keep in mind that you would see markets get hit hard. You would see the dollar spike higher, possibly again, not because the world will have greater confidence, but because everything has been leveraged on cheap dollars. And just as a knee-jerk reaction, you would have a lot of things that have been bought with cheap dollars recently unwind, and you would start a chain reaction. It may not last long, and if it looked as if we were going to get a very prolonged and very turbulent indecision after the election and go on for weeks or even months with a lot of animus and controversy and no clear winner, then you would probably see global currency markets turn right around and sell the dollar back off if they were really that scared about longer term governance issues. But the near term thing would undoubtedly be the dollar would spike and everything else would sell off. So, you can still be in some companies and some themes that long term are going to bet no matter what goes on. I told people in my last issue, in fact, I ran down the list giving the highlights of companies that I have recommended that have anything to do with copper specifically and base metals generally. Every single one of them is a company that I'm telling people to that we're in them for the long term. I'm not going to try and time those kind of things. But a lot of people, even those listening here today, know that I had recommended a while back Piedmont Lithium. It had a huge move after the Tesla announcement. So people that were buying that stock as low as $5 or $6 this summer, I just told them to sell half of what they had around $40. The stock has sold off a little bit. They're going to raise some money, but long term it will end up being much higher. The other lithium company on my list right now is going to follow the same path Piedmont has done, but its price is still just asinine how cheap it is. And that's the kind of thing, I'm telling people to buy it right now. I may add one or two more base metal plays, but by and large, I don't want to start making any larger bets portfolio-wise until we get some clarity after the election.
Yeah, fair enough. I have the same outlook, Chris, and unfortunately, I think that the election is not going to be settled in early November. I think it will be dragged on for a while. I hope it won't be, but I don't know. Everything that I'm reading and hearing seems like there's a good chance that we will be dealing with the election for at least a few weeks after the actual election date. Chris, what about other countries? Are you taking any direction from, say, Europe, from China, from really anywhere around the world? This has been very U.S. focused, but in all fairness, the rest of the world is also dealing with a lot of the same issues that the U.S. is.
Well, Europe especially is. Europe is a basket case. Fundamentally, anybody that would, and I've said this before, but now the euro has finally rallied some. I think long term, when you look at the fundamentals of both Europe's economy and their banking system, which is way worse than the U.S. banking system, the euro rebounding as it has in the recent past against the dollar makes utterly no fundamental sense. Now, that said, the Fed has belatedly embraced what I was complaining about for a long time when the dollar was higher, and that is that the Fed, whether it ever likes to admit it or not, once in a while it'll dance around the issue, is the de facto central bank of the world. They're not just America's central bank. The world is on a U.S. dollar standard. The world suffers with a strong dollar, and so the Fed, to some extent, though it won't come right out and say this, has to be very happy that the dollar has sold off as it has in the last 5 or 6 months, whatever it's been since it was around 103 on the U.S. dollar index. It could turn into being a different matter if the dollar were to go down too much. I don't know if it will or won't from this point in time, but I think the Fed is happy that the steam is out of the dollar and that the pressure is off of a lot of emerging markets and so forth. So we'll see how things evolve. Again, I think that the danger, we got a taste of this when the dollar seemed to be breaking higher a few weeks back, but now it's turned right around. But nonetheless, the danger is that you've still got a lot of leverage, a lot of dollar short positions that have enabled everything from buying gold to buying stocks. And, you know, if something happens to spook markets, you will see that knee-jerk reaction and all of these things reverse, at least for a while, that I described a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, fair enough. It does seem like we're also just kind of looking over our shoulder, seeing what could come out and spook these markets and drive everything back lower. But, man, right now, it's just interesting to see these markets continue to hold their gains and even arguably trend a little bit higher into the election. Usually markets trend down into the election, and this election is a particularly ugly one, but I think it just goes to show how much money is still in the system and really doesn't have, it seems like, anywhere else to go. Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today. Boy, oh boy, I hope we get this election behind us so it gives us something else to talk about, but for the next week and a half, it seems like we're still going to at least be slaves to this. Chris, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your day.